You're listening to The Continuing Adventures of Billy Barbarian, written and read by J.R. Murdoch. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com. Billy awoke in darkness, so he went back to sleep. He woke a while later and it was still dark out. He thought about going back to sleep, but he wasn't tired anymore. He was quite confused as to why it would still be dark outside if he slept enough not to be tired. That's when it occurred to him. He wasn't outside. Before the sun had gone down, Billy snuck into a root cellar to escape the rain. Though it smelled musty and was dark, he was dry. He didn't hear anything and hoped that was a good sign for him to get up and leave. He fumbled around in the dark to find his belongings. He rolled his bedroll and attached it to his backpack. He discovered some jars of what he hoped were food and also a small sack of what felt like potatoes. He shoved everything he could into his backpack, attached his bedroll, fixed everything onto his back, and, dragging his wet cloak, ascended the ladder out of the cellar. The sunlight blinded him, and he had to close the door to regain his senses before trying again. Once he had, he closed his eyes and pushed open the door. The sunlight warmed his cold body. Being damp when he slept in the cool of the root cellar, he had a difficult time fighting off the chill. His maroon tunic and brown pants were mostly dry, but his gray wool cloak was still heavy with water. He managed to drape it over his backpack so its coldness wasn't touching him, and proceeded to walk away from the root cellar. A quick check of his weapons, battle axe hung from his backpack, long sword at his left side, dagger at his right side, and a small dagger hidden in his boot, small pouch filled with darts, and Billy was ready to open his eyes. As he walked, the sunlight didn't hurt quite so much. He gave a quick glance back at the small house he walked away from. Nothing moved inside or out, and he decided he could make it a safe getaway. The occupants of the farmhouse were either at the market or in the fields working. Either way, Billy could leave safely. He walked toward the river he'd been following down from the north. Billy's people lived far to the north, so being cold didn't bother him. He was strong and hardy, though some considered him to be dim-witted. This was not a bother to him, for where he came from, the one with the loudest voice, and most often than not, the one with the biggest axe, was usually right. Billy was very loud, very strong, and carried a huge axe. It was rare that someone would argue with him. He had made the choice to head south and find out more about life. He reasoned that living in the cold and far from modern civilization kept him from finding out what he should do with his life. He felt that he would find it in the big city, and emphasized his point by shattering a table with his axe. That big city turned out to be called Sethopolis. He'd passed several other travelers heading north to find a simpler life, and they had told him that much, but little else. After crossing a road, Billy reached the river and took the time to scrub his bearded face and wash the dusty smell of the root cellar out of his blonde hair. He thought about jumping into the water, but splashing its coldness upon his face proved more than enough to invigorate his sleepy mind and body. As he'd done the entire trip, he turned so the river lay on his right. Wait, his left. Yes, the river had been on his left, and he had been traveling south, and he put his feet into motion. It was going to be a warm day. That he could tell. He silently cursed himself for sleeping so late and decided that running would make up the time he'd lost. After an hour of his pack banging against his back and tromping through the dense vegetation on the river's edge, he realized it was a bad idea and set himself to walking at a brisk pace. After another hour, his boots were soaked and his back ached so severely he had to stop and figured this was as good a time as any to sit down and have a bite to eat. The jars he'd purloined contained beets, carrots, and pickles. The sack did contain potatoes, but also contained onions. This veritable feast exceeded some of the paltry meals he'd been eating. His dried meat nearly gone, and he hadn't had bread in over a week. These were two things he was looking forward to once he made it to the city. Billy, having a large mass to maintain, made short work of his vegetarian meal. He stowed his now dry cloak and replaced his pack. As he lifted his foot to continue, a voice called out to him,
"I say there, you, big fella."
Billy looked around. He wondered who could be calling him. He didn't know anyone in the area. He looked up to the road. A man stood there waving.
"Yes, up here. Come up here, good man."
Billy wasn't rude and figured he could find his way back down to the river if needed. He decided to join the man on the road. After pushing his way through some brush, he stepped onto the road. "I say, where are you headed?" the man asked. Billy towered over the short man. Billy guessed the stranger to be about 5.5 feet tall, roughly the same size as the battle axe he carried. The man, unlike Billy, was garbed in bright clothing, loose red shirt, and baggy white pants. Billy always preferred to blend in with his surroundings, which was usually a forest, or, as he'd just been, next to a river.
"You're a big one, aren't you?"
Billy grunted and frowned. This man had diverted his attention just to comment on his size. Billy didn't need the waste this time.
"I say, I'm Jack, Jack Indabox. What's your name?"
"Billy Barbarian,"
Billy said and grunted.
"Barbarian?" Jack said, his eyes lighting up. "You wouldn't happen to be one of the barbarians from the north, would you?"
"Yes."
"That's so wonderful. I say, you simply must follow me into town. I have a job to do, and I'm sure your help would be immeasurable in getting it done."
Billy's mind didn't move quickly, but he heard city and job, and putting those two together, he figured that his quest was nearly complete. He must be near the city. He figured he must ask at least one question.
"What kind of a job is it?"
Jack's eyes narrowed, and he motioned for Billy to lean down. He whispered into Billy's ear,
"One that pays well."
Billy didn't need to hear anything else.
"Let's go."
Billy turned and started tromping through the brush to return to the river.
"Hey!"
Jack called out from the edge of the road.
"Where are you going?"
"Back down to the river. It'll lead into town."
Jack looked bewildered.
"So will the road."
At first, Billy was suspicious. Why would a road lead into town? Roads led in all different directions where Billy grew up. Just because there was a road did not mean that it would lead into an area where people lived. More often than not, a road just led to more roads, and Billy had spent a great deal of time getting lost before he'd figured this out. He didn't trust roads.
"This road here also follows that river,"
Jack pointed out, noting Billy's reluctance to come back. That changed everything. In an instant, he was back on the road and ready to go into town with Jack.
"So, what is the name of this town we're heading to?"
Billy asked as the two headed down the road.
"Sethopolis, home of the mighty Maul," Jack said.
Sethopolis, that's exactly where Billy wanted to go.
"Maul? What's a Maul?"
"It's a place where people go to shop," explained Jack.
"How long will it take to get there?"
"That depends."
"Depends on what?"
"If we can thumb a ride."
Billy looked at his thumb, confused.
"Thumb?"
"Yeah, if a farmer or someone comes by in a cart, we'll hold out our thumbs like this,"
Jack demonstrated by pointing his thumb in the direction they wanted to go.
"And if they're nice people, they'll stop and pick us up. It's simple, really."
Billy held up his thumb. This meant something drastically different among barbarians. He shuddered that he'd motioned to someone like this and hoped for a ride.
"See, you got it there," Jack complimented Billy's hopeless attempt. "Now, we just need to keep walking and hope a cart comes by. We could be in Sethopolis by nightfall."
Billy's suspicion of the road didn't fade, but being that it followed the river, he decided he would continue to follow Jack Indabox. As long as the paths were going in the same direction, he didn't see what harm could come from the company. It had been a long time since he'd had anyone to talk to.
"So, Jack, what do you do?"
"Shh! My job is secret. Don't go blabbing nothing to nobody."
The double negative confused Billy. It baffled him that Jack would need to keep his work a secret. Everyone in the north knew what everyone else did. That made it far easier to get things done.
"Oh, I can keep a secret," Billy said with a smile.
Jack smiled back knowingly.
"I'm sure you can, big fella. Just to be safe for both of us, I'm not going to tell you, but I'm going to show you. In fact, my next job, I have need of a guy that meets your description. I think once you find out how much we're going to get paid, you'll be happy with the job. I know I was the first time Iman gave me a job."
"What man?"
Jack gritted his teeth.
"Let's not talk about who. You'll get to meet him in due time. We just need to get you to the city."
"What were you doing so far away from the town?"
Billy asked, unsure of how far away from the town they really were.
"We're not that far away. Like I said, if we can get a ride, we'll be back in town before it's dark."
"Will anyone else be on this job with us?"
"You sure do ask a lot of questions, don't you, big guy? Tell you what, once we're in town, we'll get ourselves a pint, and I'll try and answer more of your questions. Right now, let's see if we can get a ride."
Billy turned his head as the soft squeak of wood against wood touched his ears. A cart approached from behind. Billy once again practiced his thumb motion and offended himself, therefore decided to leave the thumb waving to Jack.
A huge cart pulled by six giant horses. The cart, nearly double in height to Billy, loomed closer. He'd never seen any transportation that rivaled it. The only carts Billy could remember were much smaller and held only two people and perhaps some cargo. This monstrosity made everything Billy had ever seen diminutive in comparison. Even Billy's home back in the north was only half as big as what came down the road. Several people crowded on the top, and there were three drivers, though only one in the middle held the reins. The deep red cart with its six large wheels squeaked and groaned its way up to them. "Looks like the bus is right on schedule," Jack said happily, and held out his thumb.
"Bus?" Billy asked.
"Yes, bus. Surely you must have buses up north. They carry large groups of people in the same direction. Have you any money on you?"
Billy fumbled to check his pouch, but recalled he only had food and weapons.
"I could fight my way under the bus."
"That's no good. I tried that once." It was then Billy noticed that Jack, as small as he was, had no weapon. He almost offered Jack a dagger, but wasn't able to make up his mind before the bus stopped before them.
"I've got enough for both of us. Let's go."
The bus consisted of a lower section and an upper section. The lower enclosed section held many people crowded together. The upper lay open to the elements, and Billy was glad to see that Jack, after handing some money to the uniformed man who stood with his hand out, climbed the ladder and headed for the top. Billy followed, glad there would be no more thumb rudeness. The stench of the filthy people on the top of the bus overwhelmed Billy. He'd been drunk and smelly before, but preferred to be bathed. He wondered if it had just been the people's way, or if they'd been traveling for a long time. Jack found them a spot to sit in one corner away from the smelliest of the people. Their only companions were a pig and a chicken. The chicken, at least, was in a cage. The pig's nuzzle was too affectionate, and Billy nearly punched the beast. Jack restrained him.
"We're going to all have to get together for a while. Don't go punching anything or anyone, at least not until we're ready to get off."
"Okay,"
Billy said, disappointed. He didn't get to punch the nosy beast. Bacon sounded good right now. A beer sounded much better, but both of those would have to wait. The bus they rode in carried nearly as many boxes, crates, and packages as it did people and animals. Even though he'd only been on it for a short time, he'd longed to be walking or running. Horses were rare where he grew up, and even then, the animals pulled carts only when needed. People walked or ran where they needed to go.
"So what were you planning on doing when you hit town?" Jack asked, pulling Billy's attention back.
This question was odd at first, but Billy got Jack's drift and snickered.
"I planned on eating, then perhaps drinking. After that, I was going to do some sleeping."
It was Jack's turn to laugh. "I meant, what is your purpose for coming here? You're a long way from home."
"Oh, I planned on finding a job and perhaps learn more about the world and myself."
"So, you're on a personal quest to find yourself."
It sounded better the way Jack had worded it.
"Yes."
"I did that when I was young. I grew up way away from town on a farm. I hated it. I moved to the city when I was 15, and I never looked back. The bright lights of the big city, that's what I needed. Give me the hustle and bustle of everyday life over a lazy farm any day. That was a long 5 years ago, but seems like forever. Say, how old are you anyway, Billy?"
18, Billy replied.
"Okay, great. This person we're going to be working for has a very strict requirement for those who work for him. No one under 18. I tried to recruit a couple of kids once. They were like 14 or 15 or something like that. He wasn't too happy about it."
"Who is it we'll be working for?"
"You'll find out when we get to town. The bus is pretty quick. It shouldn't take too long to get there."
"So, why me?"
Jack chuckled.
"Why you? Just look at you."
Billy tried.
"You're a mountain of a man. I was told to find someone big and strong. You're the biggest and strongest person I've ever seen. I mean, with you on the team, this job is going to be a piece of cake."
"Why can't you tell me about this job?"
"I don't think I've ever met anyone who asked so many questions."
Jack gave Billy a sideways grin.
"You're going to do fine, my big friend. You're going to do just fine."
"If you say so,"
Billy shrugged. He wished he shared Jack's enthusiasm. Instead, he grew bored just sitting and watching the scenery pass by. He did notice, however, that the trees appeared to be passing by more slowly. Jack must have noticed the same thing, for he got to his feet and looked to the front.
"I can't believe it!"
Jack slapped his hand to his forehead.
"What is it, Jack?"
"A traffic jam!"
In front of the bus, carts extended off into the distance, far into the distance. Billy could make out the faint shapes of buildings and smoke. His heart pounded in anticipation. His goal loomed close, and he longed to be there. He wanted to run.
"We're close. I can see the city from here. It won't take long to get there if we walk.
Jack squinted and held his hand over his eyes. Billy mimicked this, wondering if it helped Jack to see further.
You're right. Let's get our stuff and get down. We can walk faster than this traffic will move.
As if everyone had heard him, the bus emptied out, and people started walking toward town. Along with the carts, wagons, and buses, there was a large amount of pedestrian traffic moving to the city. Men with children, animals, and wives made their way along and headed to the city.
It's been a long time since I've seen this much traffic heading into town at once. I mean, there was always traffic going to town, but this is ridiculous. I wonder where everyone is going.
Didn't you say people want to go to the mall?
Billy asked, still confused over what a mall could be.
Yeah, but those people usually come earlier in the day, and the traffic is never backed up this far from town. Something big must be happening. I guess we'll find out when we get into town.
So, tell me more about Scythopolis.
What's to tell? It's the capital of our great country of Southparch. It's got the largest population. King Seth lives here in his castle. Gosh, what else could I tell you about it?
How many people live here?
Tens of thousands, at least. Probably more.
What do so many people all do in one place? How do you farm the land?
Jack chuckled.
Those of us who live in Scythopolis aren't farmers. That's part of the reason for the mall. People who own shops there buy goods from the farmers and have them shipped in. That makes it so we don't have to farm for ourselves, but we have to have jobs to make money to buy things in order to survive.
Billy had money once. It wasn't a lot, and he'd spent it quickly. But he couldn't grasp the concept of buying food from anyone. Where he grew up, the only thing grown-ups bought with money was beer or building supplies they couldn't get from the woods. Food was always abundant, and usually if you wanted a weapon, you traded whatever you killed to get one. Houses were built communally, so no one had to purchase a home. Land, on the other hand, was taken by force if needed, or you just built a house where no one cared if you built. It was all so simple. Cities were going to take some getting used to. Jack continued his explanation of Scythopolis.
Most of the houses are stacked on top of one another. These are called apartments. If you're lucky enough to get a house, the king taxes you quite heavily, so only the rich own houses. Are you following all of this?
I think I've got a lot to learn about cities.
He had never realized just how easy his life had been until confronted with a city.
Nah, you'll see just how easy it is to figure out. Just make sure that once you have money on you, you don't give it to anyone unless they give you something back for it. And make sure you don't hand over your money without making sure that what you're getting is worth what you're paying for it.
Jack was so wise.
How will I know?
Stick with me, Billy. I'll make sure you learn everything you need to know.
Jack's openness put Billy's mind at ease. As long as Jack Endebox was nearby, Billy knew he would be able to survive in the big city. Jack would look out for him, and he now felt good about his decision to come south to the city. Being down off the bus, he couldn't see Scythopolis until they were much closer. Buildings of stone and wood rose from out of the earth like gigantic monsters of legend. Smoke billowed from chimneys high over the constructions, and fire spat from others. In places, torches lit great signs declaring where to eat and where to sleep once in town. Others proclaimed that King Seth was a great ruler and you should pay your taxes. Jack read many of the signs to Billy.
"What's that sign say?"
Billy asked, pointing to one depicting a man in black robes, face hidden, palms outspread.
"If you ever see a man dressed in black robes like that, turn away from him. He'll offer you peace, but what he's going to try and do is recruit you."
"For what?"
"He'll say it's a mission for peace, but their group's idea of peace is to destroy the world. The world can only be at peace once everyone has gone off of it. Make sure you avoid the people in the black robes at all costs."
"Okay."
The skyline rose before them, and Billy, for the first time in his life, felt awe and fear twist in a merciful knot in his stomach. This wasn't what he'd expected to feel when he approached the city. His breathing quickened, and nausea overtook him. He promptly sat down on the ground and put his head between his legs.
"Billy, what's up?"
Jack asked as he knelt beside Billy.
"I don't feel so good. I don't think I can go through with it."
Waves of pain leapt from his stomach and into his throat.
"Come on, Billy, we're almost there. I've got a surprise for you, too."
"A surprise? What more could surprise me down here?"
"Check out that sign,"
Jack said, pointing to a sign with letters formed from torches.
"Jack," Billy said sadly, "I still can't read."
"Oh, sorry, I forgot. Let me read it to you. It says, 'Tonight only, Celine Dijon and the Great Poupons.'"
"Celine? Here?"
"But it's right there. I think we know why there's so much traffic heading into town. The sign says the show starts at 8, but I don't think there's any tickets left."
But Celine is one of the greatest singers to come from the North. I remember her from when I was a kid.
I'm sure she'll remember me.
Slow down there, big fella.
Jack put a hand on Billy's shoulder and pushed the big man back down.
This is a really, really big town. You're not going to be able to head in there and just find her, you know. Just take comfort that you're not the first barbarian to come to town, and let's go in.
Billy smiled. Suddenly the big city didn't seem so big. Jack was a good friend. It was a good thing they'd found each other.
Let's go.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to The Continuing Adventures of Billy Barbarian. For more information on this book and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com. And again, thank you for listening.